You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here once again on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We're a church that has been blessed by God, and we want to be a blessing to those around us. We want to be a blessing to God, a blessing to our family, a blessing to our church, and a blessing to our community. We want to be a blessing spiritually and relationally and however else God enables us to be a blessing. And so I have a number of people from time to time that contact me and say, hey, can you help us out with a person that is good in this particular area? So I had a person one time, and they said, could you recommend a good plumber? And I said, well, I don't have any plumbers in the church, but I can tell you who we call for plumbers. And then other people have said, do you know AC people? Yeah, and the people at Wyrick Air, and some people asked about other contractors and trades. And I said, well, I don't have anybody that does that in the church, but this is who I have used in the past. The folks at Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, they do both. They are people who have been around Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. We've used them for church projects. We've used them for projects at my house as well. And they have the three E's that I like to refer to. They have decades of experience. They have fantastic expertise. They know what they're doing. And they have a great work ethic that they put into every project that they take on. So they want to get in, get your job done, and get out of the way so that the other aspects of your project can move forward. 321-536-5804 would get you in touch with Greg, and he can come out, take a look at your what you're thinking of doing, and let you know about what that would cost and how long it would take. And I would just encourage you, don't wait till the last minute. You want to make sure the foundation is good and solid before you ever need it for those other aspects. So call them well in advance, 321-536-5804. If it is a last minute job, you can call them anyway, and they'll either tell you they can or they can't. But I tell you, I have found them to be people who do a phenomenal, phenomenal job, and I recommend them highly. 321-536-5804 for the folks at Jets Concrete. So yesterday, Jesus was responding to the question from a scribe, what is the first commandment of all? And his response, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That brings us to verse number 32. If you remember, we talked about in this passage that there were a series of conversations that Jesus had, and in which he was teaching people how to think. The Sadducees had one error, and we're going to see how the scribe responds to Jesus' answer to his question. Verse 32, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength And to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. So we're going to talk about some interesting observations here. At least they're interesting to me. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher." And I think that we should realize that Jesus is the greatest teacher that has ever existed. You know, he was able to reach the masses. He communicated in a style that people realized that he was speaking authoritatively, not just theoretically. And he spoke in a manner that was captivating, to where one translation said that as he taught, that the people were hanging on his every word. There were some people that were sent to arrest him. And they came back and said, they said, "Why didn't you bring him back?" And they said, "No one has ever spoken the way that he speaks." And he is the master teacher. He is not only the written word, he is the living word, and he is the one best qualified to teach us the content, but also how we are supposed to do life. Like I've said, the object of this section of scripture that I see is that he's teaching people how to think, not just what to think. And many times they set traps for him to see if he would say something that they could ensnare him with. So he said, "Well said, teacher." I do believe that church is supposed to be an interactive experience. I don't think it is supposed to just be a lecture. I think that when we come to church that we are supposed to be engaged. I don't think we're supposed to be sitting there daydreaming about what's going to happen, later on in the week, what we're going to be having for lunch. I don't think we're supposed to be distracted by the problems that we're facing or things like that. I think that when we come to church, that we should be engaged in every aspect of our being, just like was talked about in the Great Commandments there. That God needs to be elevated above every other area, circumstance, or person in our life. So when we come to church, we're there to worship God. We're there to hear from God. We're there to receive from God. And we're there to go out on assignment for God. So when we are in church, I believe that it's supposed to be interactive. And so the promises of God, the scripture says, are yea and amen. I think that the congregation should be responding. They should be saying, "Amen, so be it. We're in agreement. We understand. We've got it. We believe it. And we're waiting to see that happen." And the Psalms, if you go back and read through them, you will see that many times that there would be a statement made, and then the children of Israel would respond, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever," to whatever circumstance, to whatever situation that had just been declared. "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." Whatever you're going through today, if it seems overwhelming, or if maybe you're facing a response that seems underwhelming, "For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." There was a time when the children of Israel were commanded to stand on mountains, and there would be the blessings that were pronounced on one mountain. There was the curses that were pronounced on another mountain. What is your response to the things that Jesus has shared in his word. I hope that you respond, that's well said. That's truth. That strikes a chord, not in my heart, not in my intellect. That strikes a chord in my spirit that says, this is truth. And so the scribe does well. He responds to the teacher and he said, that's well said. You know, I'm the type of person when I'm in church, if I'm not preaching that day and the preacher says something good, I'm going to say amen. Or I'm going to say, that's a good word. I'm going to let them know that I'm paying attention, and that just spoke to me. And I would encourage you to do this. If you have one of those moments, one of the things that we provide to our congregation, to our visitors, is we provide a journal, and that way they can write something down, because our memories are not as accurate as we would like them to be. And so if you write something down, then you have a better chance of remembering it. When you were in school, that's why you took notes, is because even though you might have heard something, you may not remember it 2 days later, so you needed to take notes so that when the test happens, you would have been able to refresh your memory so that you would be able to recall it. We remember very little of what we hear. So we need to equip ourselves with the tools that are going to help us to remember when God has spoken something to us that is going to be of spiritual benefit to us, or benefit another area of our lives. Now, I will tell you that when I'm preaching, if there's something that God drops into my heart that wasn't in my notes, and all of a sudden it comes out of my mouth, if nobody else amens me, I've been known to amen myself. I've been known to say, that's good. You know, that's happened to me here on the radio, where I had my notes and I had a something that was prompted in my spirit, and I wrote it down because I was like, that's good. I didn't come in prepared to say that, but praise God for that truth there anyway. So the scribe responds, well said, teacher. And then there's this next statement. You have spoken the truth. Now, I believe that it is a good thing that the scribe recognized that Jesus had spoken the truth. You need to understand that many people were not a fan of what Jesus was sharing. They did not believe that what Jesus was sharing was truth. And so they were in this turmoil where they were looking at how to remove Jesus from the scene because they didn't believe what he said. So there's a statement that has gone around for years, and it says this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Sounds really good. The problem is there's just one too many steps in there. The actual reality is, God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it is settled truth. It's good if you believe it, but God said it, and therefore it is true. A lot of people attack the Word of God looking to see if they can justify a reason that they have for not believing it, and that's just not the right way to approach the Word of God, because the Word of God is spirit and it is spiritually discerned. So we need to realize that the only way that we can truly understand the Word of God is first of all with our spirit, and then our spirit will give us the understanding with our mind, our will, our emotions, and it will result in a physical act of obedience as a result of that. So God said it, that is truth, and Jesus, when he spoke it, the it was true. And the scribe responds, "You have spoken the truth." Now, I will tell you that many people are looking for external affirmation before they know whether or not something is truth. Jesus shares the truth, speaks the truth, because he is the truth, the truth, the absolute truth. And even though it is nice when people grab it, he does not need the reassurance from other people that what he has shared is the truth. The scribe goes on and says, "For there is one God and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all of the understanding," that's a different take on "with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And so it is true that these are the greatest commandments. It is true that they have higher value than all of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. It doesn't mean that those other things are not important. It just means that if we don't have our heart right with God, that it doesn't matter what else we do, it's never going to be able to restructure the priorities that God has. There is a term that is called inordinate affections. It means that things are out of order. And things that are out of order will never produce the same results of the things that are in order. So whenever we have a men's breakfast, someone has taken on this responsibility for the past several men's breakfasts, but for the most part, my wife would be the one. She would make the gravy. My wife is not from the South, but she learned how to make a really, really good gravy for biscuits and gravy. And all of a sudden, my taste buds are just really going happy here. But there were, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand. I didn't go to cooking school, didn't go to culinary school. All I've done is eat good food. I am, you know, not a great cook myself, but my wife is. And I know that there are certain sequence of things that she does in order to get that. And I asked, "Well, why can't you just do this?" Said, "Because it doesn't work that way." And it's like, okay. So you need to be able to lean on expertise rather than, you know, just a beginner's guess. Well, Jesus is the expert on truth. And so he communicates it to this person, this scribe, and there's something inside the scribe that says what he just said is true. Now, there's another passage that indicates that he was trying to set a trap for Jesus. And he says, "I realize that what you have just said, that there is a priority over loving God wholeheartedly and loving our neighbor as ourselves, it is more than all of the other external acts that people may go through, that people get drawn to or are fascinated by. He said, you've just given the right order of things. I want to show you what Jesus' response was. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, that the scribe had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And so when Jesus teaches us how to think, it would be good if we answered wisely. So as I'm sitting here teaching this, I'm thinking back to an interaction that I had, you know, some time ago, and it's like, you know, there's probably a better way that I could have responded to that. There's, you know, I probably needed, you know, I'm kind of a laid back, easygoing guy, relationship wise, where at the same time being a pretty driven individual to get everything done that needs to be done. And so a lot of times I have conversations with people and I approach it like, hey, we're here as, you know, people on friendly terms, and everybody may not be looking for that type of relationship. And so there's some conversations that I probably should have been a little more discerning and realized I needed the help of the Holy Spirit to answer in a wise manner. We don't want to be answering foolishly. We don't want to be answering emotionally. We want Jesus to say, you know what? You are recognizing the truth. And then he makes this statement. This is where we're going to end today. He says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And when you realize that statement, when you look at it, you will see he's not saying he's in the kingdom of God, even though he was a scribe. A scribe was one who wrote documents. The scribe may have even been one who was charged with writing meticulously the law and the prophets. They didn't have copy machines. They didn't have printing presses. It was all done manually. It was all done by hand. And they were very, very thorough in what they did. And Jesus says, the proximity you have to the kingdom is you're not very far. Okay? It's good to be close, but it's not as good as being in. And, you know, there was a rich young ruler who came and asked questions, and Jesus said to him, "Go and sell all you have and come and follow me." And he went away sad because he had great riches. There were things that prevented him away. And Jesus said, how hard is it for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the challenges are, you know, you start thinking about that, you basically realize the only way we can get in is with the help of God. And so I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. Are you in or are you out? Would he say, you know, you think in a wise manner and you're close, but you need to recognize that the only way you get in is through having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we get in is through the forgiveness that is available with his shed blood. You know, I don't want to be the person that hangs around an activity but never get involved in the activity. So I played football when I was in the ninth grade. We had our ninth grade football team. And I did get in on a few games, but my primary responsibility was to go to practice, and outside of that, I sat on the bench. And did get in, made an interception. I remember getting squashed under a defensive lineman on three runs right up the middle. I was a better defensive back than I was anything else. And the next year I went to high school, and the high school coach of the football team called and said, "Hey, are you going to be part of the football team next year?" And it's like, no, I don't think I'm into setting more bench setting. I think I've had all of the bench setting that I care to have, because I didn't just want to be around the football field. I wanted to be in. Did you know that the kingdom of God is a great place for people who want to be involved? Believers are God's A team, and there is no B team. If you want to be involved in the kingdom of God, there's a place for you. God created you for a purpose. He redeemed you so that you could fulfill that purpose. And I would encourage you, don't just sit around on the edges. Get in on the action. Fall in love with Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will find yourself not only near the kingdom, not only seeing the kingdom, but you will find yourself a part of the kingdom, where the King is calling on you as his ambassador to go forth and declare his word, his truth, in a manner that is going to be glorifying and pleasing him. It's going to make a difference in people's lives. It's going to make a difference in people's eternities. So don't just sit on the bench. Get in on the action today. Say, you know what? I want to be in the kingdom, not close to the kingdom of God. There is no other feeling like it. There's nothing like it in the world. Being an NFL star cannot compare to being involved in the eternal ministry of the kingdom of God. So after that, it says no one else dared ask Jesus a question. Jesus had proven that he knew how to think, and he knew how to solve the hardest problems, and he can solve your problems. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.